person dies, he only appears to die. He's still very much alive in the past. So it is very silly for people to cry at his funeral. All moments, past, present, future, always have existed, always will exist. The Tralfalmadorians can look at all the different moments just the way we can look at a stretch of the Rocky Mountains. They can see how permanent all the moments are, and they can look at any moment that interests them.
Father? Where are you?
When a Tralfalmadorian sees a corpse, all he thinks is that the dead person is in a bad condition in that particular moment.
Daddy?
But that the same person is just fine in plenty of other moments. Now, when I hear that somebody is dead...
Where are you?
Somebody is dead, I simply shrug and say what the Tralfalmadorians say about dead people, which is, so it goes.
There you are. Why didn't you answer me when I called?
I didn't hear you, Barbara.
Don't lie to me. I know perfectly well that you heard me.
I didn't hear you.
That letter in the paper. You are making a laughing stock of yourself and us.
Why are you so mad?
Father, are you going to force us to put you in a home like where Grandma is?
It was just a letter.
It's crazy. None of it is true.
It's all true.
There is no such planet as Tralfalmador.
Well, it can't be detected from Earth, if that's what you mean. The two planets are both very small and very, very far apart.
For Christ's sake, where did you get the crazy name like Tralfalmador?
Well, the creatures who live there call it that. They're 2 feet high and green and shaped like plumber's friends. And since you mentioned him... They don't have much interest in Christ there. The most interesting earthling to them is Charles Darwin, who taught that those who die are meant to die. Corpses are improvements. The same idea appears in Kilgore Trout's book, Big Board. The flying saucer creatures who capture Trout's hero ask him about Darwin, and they also ask him about golf.
God. Well, why is it you never mentioned any of this before the plane crash?
I didn't think the time was ripe, Barbara.
Billy says he first came unstuck in time long before his trip to Tralfalmador. Billy first came unstuck in time while World War II was in progress. Billy was a chaplain's assistant, a figure of fun in the American Army. He was a valet to a preacher. He bore no arms and had a meek faith in a loving Jesus, which most soldiers found putrid. When Billy joined his regiment, it was in the process of being destroyed by the Germans in the famous Battle of the Bulge. Billy never even got to meet the chaplain he was supposed to assist, was never even issued with a steel helmet and combat boots. It was December 1944, during the last mighty German attack of the war. Billy survived, a dazed wanderer behind German lines. The other wanderers, not quite so dazed, allowed Billy to tag along. 2 scouts and 1 anti-tank gunner. They were all 4 without food or maps. They found themselves in a rural silence ever more profound. They ate snow. The scouts had rifles, the gunner a Colt 45. Billy was empty-handed, bleakly ready for death. He had no helmet, no overcoat. On his feet were cheap low-cut civilian shoes which he had bought for his father's funeral. He didn't look like a soldier at all. He looked like a filthy flamingo. He also had a beard, bristly and white even though he was only 21. The anti-tank gunner's name was Roland Weary.
Get out of the road!
What?
Get out of the road! Move! Move!
Oh, right, yeah.
Saved your life again, you dumb bastard.
I guess.
You guess? I'm always saving your life.
You can just leave me alone, guys. Go on without me.
You see this trench knife, Pilgrim?
Roland Weary was only 18, at the end of an unhappy childhood in Pittsburgh. He was under